Good morning, everybody, and welcome into the studios here at EverBank Field. Brian Sexton, John Osier, Ashlyn Sullivan. John Osier, good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
You know, it's the biggest win, regular season, home win. Are you ready for this? Since December 96, when they beat the Seahawks keep their nascent political playoff hopes alive. Tony Brackens had a couple of interceptions, if you remember that game.
That was Brackens' breakout
That game. Was his breakout. That was his breakout game.
And they sort of found out that afternoon that if they won, they got in. So they needed if they won their last two games, they got
in. Their last two, right. Then they had to go, and of course, Morton's missing Atlanta the next week. But I went back and I looked at it last night, and I tried to put a calculation on, you know, who they were playing and what the standings were and what was at stake. And, you know, the 98 team, the 99 team, the 2005 team, the 2007 team. Yeah, they didn't have as much at stake. This game is as big a regular season home win as they have had in 21 years.
Well, and it moved them into first place. And, you know, it's striking that it is the biggest win, because when you look at it now, this team's beaten the Steelers. They've beaten the Chargers. They've beaten the Ravens. You know, they have 3, 4, 5 good wins. That's not always the case when you're in week 13. But clearly the biggest one, and everything, the fans, the moment, the way they captured, the moment, really. I mean, this was a huge game at a huge time. Even if it wasn't as big as we all made it out to be, we still spent the week making it out to be. So the players knew that people were watching this one, and they came through with the eyes on them.
All right, so here's an opening thought from me, and I'll get one from you, and we'll get one from Ashlyn before we get to big things. The two cornerbacks, A.J. Boye, who had two interceptions, and Jalen Ramsey, who had his fourth of the season, 10 combined for these two. Do you realize that these two guys should be All-Pro?
Mm-hmm.
Not just Pro Bowl, which is fan balloting players and coaches, but the AP All-Pro list. There's no corner, there's no duo of corners in the NFL playing as well as these guys are right now. You realize they played three playoff Super Bowl winning quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Roethlisberger, Flacco, and yesterday Russell Wilson. They intercepted those three quarterbacks 10 times.
Yeah, and
not those two guys in particular. The Jaguars did, but these guys came up with big plays. Big, big, big interceptions at key moments. That's the All-Pro duo. Should be in the AFC.
And you can have great cornerback play without interceptions. To get the interceptions is...
icing on the cake.
Well, it shows you how good this defense is at taking away the ball. And for whatever else they didn't do, those three turnovers, to me, define the game. In a lot of ways.
And Boye's in particular, the second one where he had to go down and cup it in his hands and they reviewed it. Mm-hmm. And that killed a drive that looked like it had a little momentum.
Yeah.
For Russell Wilson and the Seahawks at the time. And he did that against the Chargers. He did that against the Ravens in London. He signed a huge contract in the offseason. Mm-hmm. And we spent most of the season talking about Calais Campbell, but A.J. Boye.
Yeah.
All-Pro. Incredible free agent class for this franchise.
I thought it was interesting that there were times against the Bengals, remember, when you looked out there and was like, Andy Dalton's just throwing the ball up at this point.
Yeah.
It's tough to say that the Seahawks were at that point the entire game, but there were moments where it looked like they didn't have any answers, and it was basically, let's throw the ball up and hope something good happens. Now, they got out of that and they came back, but that's what this defense does to quarterbacks. They take away a lot of legitimate options to where you're just sort of hoping something happens. It's been remarkable.
Got an opening thought for us?
Offensive line / Leonard Fournette. I said often last week that I thought the game would be in Blake Bortles' hands, which it was, but I did not think that this stagnant running game, I didn't think there was any way in the world that it would jumpstart itself against the Seahawks. Even missing the guys they were missing, they were still the 7th-ranked run defense in the league. They were still the Seahawks. Offensive line didn't allow a sack, and not only that, it never felt like they were close to allowing a sack,
which
I don't remember a game in Blake Bortles' career where there weren't a few times where he was, you know, trying to get away look. But I don't remember a game where he was as clean in the pocket, and then when you take into consideration that a 13-yard run on 3rd-and-11 ices the game, and that wasn't the only big moment run of Fournette seemed back, but overall the offensive line, it's hard to say it's his best game because, you know, there's 13 others.
Sure.
But it was sure a moment where they came through and not a lot of people were talking about them before the game.
There was a big run late in the third quarter. The Jaguars started first and 11 on their 1 yard line. Mm-hmm. And he had a run out across the 10 for a first down.
That was mammoth.
Mammoth. That went into the fourth quarter and it set up a field goal that made it 30-17 at the time.
That play made Boye's interception that you were talking about matter. If that play hadn't happened, that interception barely matters because the Jaguars punt, Seahawks have field position, and all that play does is delay a Seahawks score for them to get out of their own end zone. It was one of the hidden – if you're ranking top 10 plays, that Fournette run to get out of the shadow of the goalpost was one of them.
All right, let's welcome in Ashlyn Sullivan for the first time today. Hey, Ashlyn, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
I'm good. You know, I got a little grief on Friday, if you recall, for the Christmas music question. I won't point any fingers. I might look in the general direction. I should point out that you're feeling festive today. You're wearing your Christmas slacks.
I am, and people I didn't even notice I wore
them. They're bright red.
Yep.
So, Merry Christmas. Yeah, absolutely.
So, Merry Christmas to you as well.
Your opening thought?
My opening thought is about head coach Doug Marrone. And lately, I've noticed something different the past two home games that he hasn't done the rest of the season. Now, normally, he kind of keeps to himself, I've noticed. But these past 2 weeks, he's really gotten involved with the bench. And the last home game and this home game, before the fourth quarter, before the defense takes the field, he goes and hypes them up. And this fourth quarter, he talked about how they could not let them score any more points. Now, obviously, that didn't happen, but you love the mindset of him getting more involved, and you can just tell he's having more fun on the sidelines.
Well, his intensity level is it's difficult to see because he is so even-keeled.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's remarkable how even-keeled he is in the locker room after a big win with his team. And if folks haven't seen it, go to Jaguars.com and see his post-game speech. Remarkable, though, when he turns around and has things to say for his mm-hmm. team, how his team focuses on what he has to say. He has earned their respect.
Well, and I didn't hear this. I heard Rick Ballew say it on the broadcast, sideline reporter. Early in the game, I guess he went to the receivers and basically told them, if they want to keep covering you guys one-on-one, let them. And when Rick said that on the broadcast, it perked my ears because I said, wait a minute, they think they can throw on these guys. They think they can win this game through the air with Marquise Lee, Dede Westbrook, Keelan Cole. The game plan and the results certainly showed that, but it showed you what they were thinking. It showed you, hey, if they want to stack the box against us and let these guys beat us, we'll beat them this way. So I didn't think that would be the storyline, but it was.
So there are your opening thoughts here on Jags Drive Time. Let's take a quick 60-second timeout. And when we come back, we'll go to Ashlyn Sullivan for our big thing number one to get us going here on a Monday morning, 9-4. The Jaguars in first place on a gorgeous Monday in Jags Wired is a brand new show that brings you closer to the field than anywhere else.
Let's go!
We mic up the players.
We're giving it out wholesale today, baby.
Giving you exclusive access to what's happening on the sideline.
Let's set this tempo.
And on the field.
Hey, you can't block me.
We break down every aspect of Sunday's game, taking you inside the film room and the locker room.
And we beat a good football team.
Jags Wired airs Tuesday nights on Fox 30 at 11:35 and on demand on Jaguars.com. Jags Wired. Don't miss out.
What do you call a pack of Jaguars? A jamboree. The Jacksonville Jaguars want to offer a big thank you to the five local companies who've made the Jaguars Jamboree a party that never stops. Everbank, Baptist Health, Dreamfinders Homes, Publix, and U.S. Assure. Each of these partners provides unmatched support and dedication to the team year in and year out and help make game day special. Jaguars fans, join the Jamboree and support these companies and all the partners who support the team.
Love it. Maybe Friday we need to get a little Christmas music. Now, it doesn't look like Christmas down that hallway. That's a Victory Monday hallway, folks. The players have today off. I think they have to come in for a lift and anybody who needs treatment, but that is a beautiful sight on a Monday. The coaches, of course, working. They're sequestered back in their offices, getting through the tapes, starting work on the Houston Texans. Brian Sexton, John Osier, and Ashlyn Sullivan back with you for Jags Drive Time. And let's go right back to Ashlyn and get started. Big thing number one is up first on our docket today. Ashlyn, what you got?
It's got to be about the atmosphere at Everbank Field yesterday. Now, I have never seen anything like it this season, but you got to talk about the two-minute warning when Fred Taylor came on the air and let out that Duval. That was the loudest Duval I have heard all season, and you got to hope that you have that same atmosphere next weekend.
It's the loudest Duval that I may have ever heard. Fred was not doing the Duval. They didn't have that whole pregame setup back in 2010, the last time that this team had a winning record in December. When he did that, the crowd erupted, and you could feel it. There were a lot of Seahawks fans, too, and you could feel that the stadium was behind the team. We have to say it. Don't throw things at players. Right.
Yeah, you can't have that.
It led ESPN this morning. It's in Peter King's Monday Morning Quarterback column. It's all over the place. Couple people should not stain the entirety of the Jaguars fan base, but we should say, don't throw things at players.
Right.
Don't do it. Now, interesting, afterwards, talking to players, they talked about the atmosphere and how important it was to them and that incident at the end and how it bonded. Because the players said, the fans have our back.
Yep.
That meant something to them. Now, they're not going to come out and condone. They don't ever want to see anybody throw anything.
Right.
No one should throw a thing at another human being, for goodness sakes. But you could tell at the end of the game, the stadium, the players, there was a...
Duval versus y'all.
Yeah.
And that was what it was. In saying that, obviously don't make light of the incident and you don't throw things at players. At the same time, you don't go into the stands after a fan.
Absolutely.
Moreover than that, the incident that led to it, you don't go after a guy's knees, and it appeared that Michael Bennett was. So all of that stuff sort of snowballed into this incident. But back to the fans, it's hard for me in the press box because it's not an open press box. So it's very
sealed. I think you've mentioned that
and
before.
It's cozy.
Yes, I know.
Is what it is. And it was nice yesterday, Brian, to be honest. We had some chips. But when you have the fans like they were yesterday, I hadn't seen it, heard it, experienced it like that, certainly in the time that I had been back. In talking to players, there was Utter Mercedes Lewis and Paul Posluszny, who have been here through the bad times. And there wasn't necessarily a quote that either of them said, but you could tell what it meant for them to be playing in an atmosphere like that. Mercedes knew how it could be from before 2010, and there's certainly a satisfaction on these guys of, we did the work, they're coming back, it's getting back to what it should be, it's getting back to what people who have seen it before knew it could be, and that's cool.
Count me among them. And I get it. The fans' passion boiled over. They had waited so long for this moment. Truly, it was the energy level, and I'm not just talking about the end of the game, the energy level in the fourth quarter. With Russell Wilson throwing those two touchdown passes, it never wavered. It never decreased. You never felt like the stadium was going, uh-oh,
well,
even though internally people were.
The hardcore fans of this team through whatever date you want to start, 09, 010, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, the hardcore fans of this team, I've always said, are as strong a 40, 50, whatever that number is, are hardcores. And now the ones that have sort of been a little bit on the fringe, you feel them saying, okay, now I believe. It had been too long, and now it's back. And unbelievable to see, especially considering, you know, I got back in 2011. So I missed some good years, five, six, seven, you know. So to see it after what Shad Khan has tried to do for the fan – all the storylines we've talked about, really cool to see it come into fruition.
Hard to believe, Ashland, that we were talking earlier this year about a team that couldn't win at home, and now they've got a four-game home winning streak, the longest since 2009, and have a chance for a fifth on Sunday. Who knows what the playoff possibilities are? It's absolutely Duval versus y'all.
Absolutely. And now we got to talk about the play of quarterback Blake Bortles. And yesterday he took control of that game. That touchdown pass to Keelan Cole, beautiful ball, right on the money. 18 of 27, 268 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions. Another great day for number five.
Epic day for him. And much like last week, he made big throws. Big throws. I could point to some that people won't even remember. A crossing route to Marquise Lee for a first down in the third quarter, pardon me, in the fourth quarter, where he threw the ball sidearm and put it on the money underneath the defender's arm so that Marquise could grab it and go.
Yeah, I don't have stats here with me, but D.D. Westbrook, I think it was a 23-yard pass. It was going
right to left. Yep.
Right to my left. Great catch by Westbrook, but a pass that when you threw it, you're like, incomplete. Wow, all of a sudden completion. So many like that the last couple of weeks. And guess what? Right now, if you had never seen him play before, you would not be sitting there saying, boy, this kid's inaccurate. This kid's X. This kid's what? He's playing like a frontline NFL quarterback. Was there an element yesterday of game managing? Maybe a little. But they're also asking him to do that. With this running game, you need to do that. When I say managing the game, what I mean is he's getting them in and out of plays at the line of scrimmage to the running game. He's getting them two runs that work, things that aren't being seen. The pass to Keelan Cole, the pass to D.D. Westbrook, when they happened, especially the pass to Keelan Cole, oh, what a moment. You were up 10, and now you're tied. It felt like a game that was getting away. When I was writing it, it felt like, okay, they gave him a punch, and now Seattle's punching back, and this Seattle defense is going to take over this game. That's what it would have felt like to a casual observer.
But they came out of their corner swinging.
And a 75-yarder to Keelan Cole, yeah. You kidding me?
Well, and the beautiful thing
I didn't pre-write that one.
If you go back and watch it, you see a guy who looks to his right, then steps up into the pocket. Pressure is coming around him. Mm-hmm. Now, they weren't going to get him, but he stepped up to a spot and gave Cole the extra second he needed to clear the linebacker, K.J. Wright, who was coming towards him, and then all of a sudden dropped the ball. Again, dropped the ball beautifully into a spot that allowed Cole to run. The last couple of years I've complained about Blake Bortles that he makes guys stop.
Right.
He was so inaccurate that he made guys stop their feet, and so what should have been a 15 or 18-yard gain was 8 and punt. Not this play, not this day, not this month. He has put the ball in places where Marquise and Keelan and Westbrook could keep running. Even the throw down the sideline in the snow in Cleveland that he mm-hmm. made, the big third down conversion to D.D. Westbrook in his first NFL game. Bortles has been sensational. You won't hear any talk right now about Eli Manning coming here next year.
And I haven't rewatched the game yet, but if memory serves, the touchdown pass to Westbrook, Blake was under some pressure on that.
He was.
And had to wait for the timing to be right for the throw. All in all, I don't know what more you can say. Two touchdowns, 268 yards, no interceptions. I don't care who's not playing for that defense. That was a pressurized situation. He didn't turn the ball over. He did everything that he needed to do. And, he's rewriting his story. And with three games left, I don't see them changing quarterback.
He's rewriting the
next
story
off-season.
In the biggest game of the season against a defense that, even though they're missing two key players, mm-hmm. is still thought to be one of the better defensive units in the league.
Oh, by
he's
far
rewriting
the biggest,
his story under
most
pressure.
Hyped game of his career.
Without a doubt.
And a game where nobody before that game was saying the better quarterback is going to be Blake Bortles. I would argue yesterday it was.
Yeah, it certainly was. He led his team to a win, Ashlyn. And we've got big thing number three because in leading them to a win, they have first place in the AFC South all to themselves.
Yes, they do. And you can thank the Titans lost to the Cardinals for that. So let's talk playoffs, shall we? If the season ended this morning, the Steelers, Patriots, Jaguars, Chiefs, Titans, and Bills would be in the playoffs. The Jaguars would be a 3 seed hosting a playoff game here at home, which would be pretty cool, guys.
You know, I can't lie to you. I was a little greedy last night. I sat up and I watched the Ravens-Steelers and thought the Ravens were going to give the Jaguars a major lift mm-hmm. for the 2 seed, right? Because if the Ravens had beaten them and somehow the Patriots go in and beat them, well, then the Jaguars, because of the head-to-head, would be sitting in the 2. For a team that hasn't made the playoffs in 10 years, I should back off. But honestly, this morning, first place in the AFC South, hosting a Bills team or a Chargers team, hosting mm-hmm. is the key word there.
Well, and it's in a way, the Tennessee loss yesterday may or may not end up being important. If neither team loses again, then I think you're still going into that last game with that last game mattering. But what the Tennessee loss does is they can't slip up again if the Jaguars win twice, which the Jaguars could easily win twice. You're playing the Texans at home and the 49ers on the road. If the Jaguars win those and the Titans lose one, then all of a sudden the Jaguars go up to Tennessee clinched. Well, you'd have never thought that. Now, again, there's so much. I shudder if Doug Marrone hears us talking about that, because that's not one game at a time. But that's the reality of it, is that significantly reduces Tennessee's margin for error if the Jaguars can take care of business and win two games in which they'll be heavily favored.
Well, the Titans, not only they're staying in Phoenix this week, by the way, because they play the Niners in San Francisco next week, and then they host the Rams. And as we saw yesterday, that ain't an easy out either. So there's some interesting scenarios that still play out for the Jaguars. But first place this morning, division title in their sights, home playoff game in their grasp. We'll see what they can do. Three games remain, and one segment remains. When we return in 60 seconds, Ozone Snapshot, plus a preview of tonight's big all-access, which should be packed, over at Mellow Mushroom in Avondale, back in 60.
Jaguars All Access, presented by Fields Auto Group, is the only local show taking you inside the huddle with your favorite team.
Give me everything you've got. Let's go.
Each week, Jag's big man in the middle, Calais Campbell, and a teammate join Jeff Lagerman and me, Brett Martineau, at Mellow Mushroom in Avondale for insight and access you can't get anywhere else. Come out and be a part of the show live, or tune in Mondays at 7 p.m. on CBS 47, your official Jaguar stations. Jaguars All Access, presented by Fields Auto Group. Don't miss out.
Jags fans, it's time to win today. Get Jaguar season tickets so you don't miss a minute of the action at the bank this fall.
Touchdown! A pick six for Jalen Ramsey!
When you lock in on any season ticket package, you win today. Receive exclusive member benefits, including Jaguars playoffs and Daly's Place concert purchasing priority. Be a part of the number one game experience in the NFL. Visit jaguars.com/win today and pick your seats. Call 904-633-2000 today.
A gorgeous sunny morning. Duval versus y'all. It was last night as the Jaguars beat the Seahawks 30-24. And it's time for Ozone Snapshot. A quick look at the emails that John is getting in his inbox. And for that, we go back to Ashlyn Sullivan. Ashlyn, what's first on the list this morning?
Starting off here from Brian from New Hampshire. The Steelers game was a statement game. Yesterday's game was a validation game that this team is for real. Blake maybe also be for real.
Yes. I mean, and that was interesting. Everybody's talking about yesterday being a statement game. I think this email is right. It was a statement and a validation that this team's absolutely for real. They have beaten, again, Steelers, Chargers, Ravens, Seahawks. Those are four teams that, if they're not all in the playoffs, they're all legitimate playoff teams. The Chargers may be playing as well as any team in the NFL right now. The Jaguars beat them out here a month ago. Is this team for real? If you didn't believe it before, I don't know what else you need to do. I thought also significant yesterday, this was not a defensive game. This was not an offensive game. This was not a special teams game. The Jaguars are finding ways to win that are outside of their formula. And I don't know that people would have thought a month ago, hey, they're going to go beat the Seahawks, and Blake Bortles is going to outpass Russell Wilson. He's going to outplay him at quarterback, which some people would argue that, but I would argue that he did. Nobody would have thought that would have been their formula. D.D. Westbrook, Keelan Cole catching touchdown passes against the Seahawks to beat him.
How can you argue it? He threw no interceptions.
Right.
He played a great game. He was the better quarterback yesterday, although Russell Wilson had two fourth-quarter touchdown passes. He now has 17, the most in a single season in NFL history in the fourth quarter. Terrific player. The Jaguars overcame him. And, Ashlyn, we go back to you. What else is on your list?
We have Dane from Jacksonville. Looks like the Seahawks just realized they aren't the best defense in the league anymore, John.
Well, I think that, you know, I don't know if that was on their mind at the end of the game, what was going on, But the Seahawks certainly took a punch in the mouth yesterday, and they didn't like it. And for all the talk about the Jaguars fans at the end of the game, it all started with behavior on the field that was inexcusable.
Reprehensible.
And you can't go after a guy's knees. That's getting lost in all this was Michael Bennett rolled on Brandon Linder's knee. That is a no-no. to use a juvenile word about right. a very serious subject. You don't do that in the NFL. And I was surprised that it didn't escalate further on the field. I thought the Jaguars showed incredible self-control with Fournette being the only guy who really got unsportsmanlike. That could have gone on a long time, because when you start taking a player's career or intent to injure, you don't do that.
No. No, you certainly don't. You don't do it at all, but you certainly don't do it when a team is lined up.
Players in the locker room were really surprised at it.
Yeah.
Because you don't see it very often, and Mercedes Lewis said it. You know, you're all in there competing, but when it comes to the career,
right.
you're all in it together,
right.
and you don't do that.
And you're at the end of the game. Just you can't stop the clock, so why do something so outwardly dirty?
Right. It may have been Mercedes who said, hey, there was plenty of time.
Right.
During the game,
they had their
time to go after it.
Absolutely.
It's probably good the game ended when it did.
Okay. And it did, with the Jaguars winning 30-24, 9-4, finish the regular season home schedule Sunday against the Texans. Now, speaking of schedule, tonight, Mello Rushroom in Avondale, they'll be lined up in the streets, folks, because D.D. Westbrook will be with Calais Campbell and Brett Martineau and Jeff Loggum tonight, starting at 7. And, of course, you can watch it on CBS here in Jacksonville, or you can go out there and enjoy it. So do. Don't forget the Jaguars Monday on radio as well. Make it a great week. We will talk to you on Friday with head coach Doug Marrone, and maybe a Christmas tour, too.